When I look at the founding fathers of this great nation, I believe there were five basic points concerning our freedom. The first was the Declaration. Our founding fathers were tired of being under the tyranny of Britain and the Britain law and the Britain nation, and did not reward them for anything. They wanted to reward nothing but those in Britain. So our founding fathers wrote a Declaration of Independence, and they wrote this to the King of England, and they said they would no longer accept the law of Britain, and they do hereby announce our independence, and that they would establish their own new nation. And number two, first is Declaration, if you can remember that. Number two, they found that freedom comes with a high price. Freedom comes with a high price. The freedom that the founding fathers sought would come only after that high price. Of the 56 men who signed that Declaration of Independence, 9 of the 56 fought in the war and died from their wounds or hardships. 12 of those signing the Declaration had their homes ransacked and burned, and another 2 lost their sons in war. Carl Braxton, a wealthy trader in Virginia, watched as the British sank all his ships in the harbor. He then sold all his possessions just to try to pay his debts, and he died of poverty for his beliefs in freedom. John Hart was driven from the side of his dying wife, and his 13 kids ran all over the place to hide. And he went in the woods and hid for a long time, and he returned only to find his wife dead. His children vanished, and his life's work was destroyed. A few weeks after returning, he died of exhaustion. The armies of the colonies fought bravely despite cold and despite lack of food and lack of clothes and despite losing all their possessions. They fought for freedom, but not just freedom for themselves. They fought for the freedom of a nation. They were willing to fight against tremendous odds. And they set the stage for over 200 million American citizens who now live in this wonderful nation. So number one was their declaration. Number two was their finding that freedom comes at a high cost, and they made that high cost. And number three was liberty. Did you ever stop and think what liberty actually meant, that word liberty? It means in our Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of freedom, we recite, and liberty and justice for all. Liberty is the state of living free and free from tyranny and free from oppression and free from bondage. We need to constantly thank God for the nation where we live and where there is freedom and where there is liberty. And number four, let us never take our freedom and liberty for granted. I love this prayer that Peter Marshall gave. This is when we still had a Christian Senate and a Christian House of Delegates, and Christian preachers in most ways, and actually even presidents who were Christians at one time. And Peter Marshall prayed this prayer before the United States Senate. He said, "Lord Jesus, Thou art the way, the truth, and the life. Hear us as we pray, for the truth shall make us free. Teach us that liberty is not only to be loved, but to be lived. Liberty is too precious to be buried in books. It's too much to be hoarded. Help us to see that our liberty is not to do the right that we want to do and want to please us, but the opportunity to be pleased to do what is right." And number five, we must not abuse our liberty. There's a huge misconception in our country at this very moment, because we live in a free country, because we can live in liberty, and because we have abused the very things our forefathers fought for. You see, if our forefathers had any suspicion at all, I read this, that the freedom that they fought so hard to establish would end in a war on Christianity. That revolution would have remained in the crib. It wouldn't even been brought out. Patrick Henry is known for saying, "Give me liberty, give me death." But the greatest thing I think he ever wrote was, and listen carefully to what he said, It cannot be employed too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not by religion, but by the gospel of Jesus Christ. We were founded as a Christian nation. A French writer named Alex Tocqueville wrote these words in 1831. He wanted to come to the United States and find out exactly where we found this greatness. So he says, I thought for the greatness of the United States of America, I searched in her commodious harbors, her ample rivers, her fertile fields and boundless forest, and it was not found there. I sought for her in her rich mines, her vast world commerce, her public school system, and the institutions of higher learning, and it was not there. It was not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness that I understand the secret of her genius and power. You see, the nation was founded by Christians who believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Basically, the five basic steps used for the formation of this wonderful country can be used for the formation of churches of Christian faith. You see, number one, declaration of our faith. We too as Christians must make a declaration. You see, we have to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior before others. The word declare means to make known. Paul wrote one verse of the Bible that you hear me go over and over several times, Romans 1:16. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for all that will receive him. We are under the web of the devil, and the devil will reign over our lives until we make a stand and declare that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And number two, we must realize the high price paid for the forgiveness of our sins. Where God loves us so much that he puts off the form of God and puts on the form of man and dies for us, so that by dying on the cross and shedding his blood, the cost of our sins is paid by believing in him. We must realize the high price of our forgiveness. And number three, we must understand how unfortunate we are to live in liberty. No matter how bad a day might be that comes across us, no matter what ways we are challenged, the Apostle John in 1 John 5:11, 12 tells us that the battle is won. Once we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we are purchased with a title deed in heaven. It can't be taken away from us. Just as those brave forefathers bought our freedom from their blood and death, Jesus Christ bought our everlasting life by dying and shedding his blood. And number four, as Christians, let us never take for granted our faith and the blood Christ paid for us. Jesus is the reason for our eternal life. And number five, we must not abuse our liberty. We must live a Christian life. If we talk the talk, we need to walk the walk. During this time of year when we celebrate the 4th of July, let us look at our flag with a new admiration. It stands for our freedom. Our freedom allows us to come to church and to worship God together and freely. And during our 4th of July celebration, we see and hear fireworks. Let's remember those bombs that burst through the air over the world and took away heroes who were there fighting for our freedom, who fought and died for our freedom. And let us look at the cross with a constant admiration, for the cross stands for the freedom that we got through that high cost. It stands for liberty and freedom of our sins. And on July 4th, let us remember our flag and never forget the cross. Let us let freedom ring. And in 1 Peter 2:9, you don't have to turn there. I can tell you what it says. Just as I read where God told the Israelites that they are his people, I believe that we are his people. Once we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we become a child of God. And Peter writes that we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Today I want to show you once again the significance of Holy Communion. We come forward to take the communion service by declaring Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Again, the declaration. We declare Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior by coming forward for communion. We come forward to participate in thanking God for the high price. The high price he paid through Jesus, the Christ, who gave us freedom over the wages of our sins. We come forward thanking God for liberty, where we are free from the oppression and bondage of our sins, which God has forgiven. We come forward to show that we do not take for granted what God has done for us. But once a month we're here to say, God, I have not forgotten you. We come forward to remember that we are the light of the world. That's what Jesus said about us. And that brings light to those who are in darkness. We have been called into the marvelous light. Let us pray. Almighty Father in heaven, let us remember, Lord, to thank you for all things. Let us remember our inheritance, Lord. Let us remember the cost of our freedom, Lord. Let us remember the cost of all things, Lord. Let us remember that with love for you. And on this day, Lord, let us not forget those soldiers, Father in heaven, man and woman, Lord, that gave their lives, Father in heaven, that we might have a free nation. Let us honor those families, Lord. And on this day of communion, Lord, we get to honor Jesus Christ, who gave it all for us. It's in his name we pray these things. Amen.